War Room, Impeachment with Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment on Monday evening, December the 16th, the year of our Lord, 2019, broadcasting live here from the historic Breitbart Embassy on Capitol Hill, just steps away from the U.S. Supreme Court and the U.S. Capitol. I'm Raheem Kassam, one of the co-hosts of War Room Impeachment, joined in studio by Greg Manns, one of our industrious researchers here in the basement, in the War Room, in the skiff, our own private skiff here. It's been another hell of a day here on Capitol Hill and indeed across Washington, D.C., with lots of news to talk about. Indeed, lots of polling to talk about today, especially, I mean, all the latest, I think, polling shows the Democrats in deep trouble as regards their impeachment push against the 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We are live on the John Fredericks Radio Network, on the Salem Radio Network, on Newsmax TV. You can download and subscribe, and we urge you to hit that subscribe button. It's free on the podcast on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud. You can catch episodes of War Room Impeachment on YouTube. You can search it on Facebook. We got clips going up on Twitter. So no matter where you are in the digital universe, we're there.
We're make lurking. Sure you leave a comment.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Look, make sure you leave a comment. Greg chiming in there with the Raheem comments. Greg, it's a heck of a day, as almost every day has been recently on this, and lots to talk about here, not least the Dirty 30. Or is it the Dirty 30, or is it the Dirty 31? Well, I suppose not after some of them are jumping across parties, but the Dirty 30 Democrats who, you know, are in these swing districts that President Trump won in 2016 and the Democrats won in the midterms in 2018. These guys are not returning our calls, Greg. What's going on?
No, they're not. I reached out to all 31 today, and there is an open invite for all of them to come onto the show, and we hope they do.
Well, look, I mean, we don't bite on camera. We're pretty nice here in the War Room. There's no fighting in the War Room. Wouldn't it be good for them? I mean, at least according to these latest polling numbers, wouldn't it make sense for them to come and reach out to someone like us and make their case to the American people about what? It's clearly not working them just going on CNN and MSNBC. They're not reaching across the aisle in any way. They're barely reaching independents with this, Greg. You've reached out to these congressmen and women twice now. So we've hit all of them, all of their offices to say, hey, look, if you think, you know, you want to impeach this president, and if you think you've got the evidence, come here and wrestle with us on War Room Impeachment and let's have at it. But they don't want to do it.
Yeah. And the four that I think really should come on, they're still undecided as of the start of this show, are Anthony Brindisi, Horn in Oklahoma, Golden in Maine, and Underwood in Illinois.
Why do you think they stand out in particular?
Well, because if they're taking this long to decide,
these guys are still holdouts?
Yes, yeah, still holdouts. And we get into a good independent demographic here. Mm. So with the numbers coming out, independents very against the impeachment, I think they need to make their case one way or another, if they're going to support it or oppose it.
Yeah,
and make their case.
Clearly, the case is not being made. I mean, you look at the polling, the three big polls that came out today. What are they? The USA Today poll, the Quinnipiac poll, and the Rasmussen polls, Greg?
Yes, that's
correct. You look through, and you know, we go through all of these things here in the War Room. Greg, Jack, the whole team. Jason Miller, myself, Stephen K. Bannon, we go through all of this stuff. And, you know, we're genuinely looking for, we're not trying to spin these polls, right? I mean, there is good news in these and there is bad news in these, but it's predominantly good news for the president at the moment. And it's another historic day for the president. Greg, remind us why it's a historic day. What is going on with the stock market and the economy right now?
So since President Trump's election, the Dow Jones has increased 10,000 points.
Wow, to the day.
To
this day.
Yep.
And that reflects very, very heavily in the polling. We're going to dive into that in a second. I want to go to, quickly, the Elisa Slotkin's rowdy town hall, Greg. The anti-impeachment protesters have been out in force. Where is Congresswoman Slotkin? What's her district? And didn't she already say she hasn't even read the articles of impeachment as of what, last Thursday? Yep. Did she read them this weekend?
I hope she read all 9 pages.
Right. I mean, it wasn't a heavy lift. I read them while playing Call of Duty. Right. If I can figure it out over 10 minutes, then she can figure it out. It's her job. So where is she? And why has she been so cagey about this? She's feeling the heat right now. What has she got to say to her constituents?
So she's in a Southeast Michigan district, which President Trump won. We referenced that before. She's part of the Dirty 30.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been making her case in the sense that her CIA background took her in an analytical sense of seeing evidence and her being essentially part of this intelligence community that disagrees with President Trump's foreign policy and what he's been putting out there in that regard.
Hold on. Is she saying she's voting for impeachment because of her CIA background?
Yep.
And she hadn't read the articles of impeachment.
Yep, exactly.
She's just going on the say so of her colleagues. This is the intra-agency consensus that told us that the PP document, the PP dossier, the Christopher Steele dossier that we now know was so much bunkum. That's her evidence for this?
Exactly.
Wow, that's pretty convincing. No wonder she's had anti-impeachment protesters at her town hall. Can you describe for us a little bit about the scenes that took place there?
Yep, so we actually had MSNBC broadcasting live from the town hall. And one of the episodes that stuck out from their broadcast was a voter that looked directly into the camera and said that he was not voting for Elise Slotkin in 2020.
Did he say he had voted for her before?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. These people are hemorrhaging votes as a result of all of this. And we've reached out to all these people to come on War Room Impeachment to make their case. Tell us a little bit more, Greg, about the other vulnerables who announced, I think today or yesterday, that they will be voting. This is Cunningham and McAdams?
Yep, exactly. So Joe Cunningham in South Carolina's 1st District, and he just got a very, very tough challenger. And she's part of what's called the Conservative Squad, Nancy Mace. And she's been making the rounds on Fox and Friends, along with the other members of the Conservative Squad. So look for them to really weaponize this announcement by the Congressman Cunningham over the next few days.
I mean, do these guys not get it? I mean, there have been so many adverts taken out in so many of these districts. They're hitting home. You're seeing them shift in the poll numbers. What is going on? I want to know what quid pro quo Speaker Pelosi is offering these guys to stay online, to toe the line on impeachment, because these guys are going to lose, as it stands today, these guys are going to lose their seats. So what is she promising them? Can we subpoena her office's emails and her phone records like Adam Schiff did with Mayor Giuliani and John Solomon and Devin Nunes and, you know, the White House and all these guys? What could Nancy Pelosi be offering congressmen who tend to go into very lucrative lobbying after they leave office? I mean, ease of access, maybe. This is U.S. taxpayer money we're talking about here that's going to be on the line if Speaker Pelosi has anything to say about it. But these guys, we're not seeing many drop-offs from the Democrats on this. But the one big drop-off that we're seeing, I think there's due to be an announcement, is it Wednesday, from Jeff Van Drew?
Yes, exactly.
Tell us a little bit about the Jeff Van Drew and what we're expecting.
So Jeff Van Drew represents a southern New Jersey district, and he's going to announce his transfer over to the Republican Party solely because of this impeachment charade.
Because he's not exactly a right winger. He tends to vote the party line with Speaker Pelosi, correct?
Exactly.
So it's impeachment chasing a Congress, a sitting. Listen, I mean, this is extraordinary. And I didn't see this narrative playing out on the Sunday shows this weekend. I don't see this narrative playing out on CNN today. That instead of picking up voters, votes, approval ratings, and cash for an election next year, the Democrats are hemorrhaging votes, and they're hemorrhaging actual legislators now.
And on that note, there was around about a half hour or so ago, a report came out that Collin Peterson has been approached by prominent Republicans that he has a place in the Republican Party if the Democrats continue down.
Where's Peterson?
Minnesota.
Wow. That's big news. One defection is. You know, an earthquake, another would be a pretty severe aftershock. This, I've lived through this as well. I've seen it happen. I've seen it take place in the United Kingdom ahead of elections when people jump across the parties. These are big coups. Do we expect President Trump and the White House to make a very, very big show of this on Wednesday? I think Van Drew is supposed to go into the White House and make this announcement.
Yep. And then also, the president's rally in Western Michigan, juxtaposition of the impeachment, and then him taking his message directly to the voters.
That's Wednesday night.
Yep.
That's Wednesday night in Michigan.
Yeah.
I might have to go to that. That sounds pretty epic.
You had fun in Hershey. You might as well check out Michigan.
It sounds pretty epic. I might have to go down there and check it out. We might see if Stephen K. Bannon will send me first class assignment to Michigan to check out the rally. If you guys are in favor of it, you know, let us know. Leave comments on the website. Tweet at us at Warum2020. I want to get into this polling, Greg, but just before we do that, let's talk about the next couple of days because it's very important people understand. By the way, this polling shows that actually quite a lot of Americans say they are following this process quite closely. At least 50% going into the 60% saying they're following the impeachment process quite closely indeed. Some of them are listening. Many of them are listening to this show. Many people are watching their favorite television channels, whether it's CNN or it's Fox or it's MSNBC or it's Newsmax, whatever it is. People are listening to it on their radios, on local radios. They are following, they're reading the newspapers. They are following this, and people are looking for granularity. They're looking for detail. Here's the thing. If you make the proposition, you're the Democrats, you make the proposition that we are going to impeach the 45th president of the United States. It's a very, very rare thing to impeach a president. We're going to go after him for something that involves a lot of foreign-sounding names, something that looks very woolly and hazy, something that seems to include a lot of far-left agitators like those professors that we saw in the Judiciary Committee, and very slim, the thinnest evidentiary record around for impeachment, I think Jonathan Turley said, right?
Yes.
You're going to do that. Of course, Americans are going to be hyper-tuned into this. This is a sitting president we're talking about. It's the country will pay very close attention. And I wonder if maybe Nancy Pelosi was figuring, hoping, assessing that actually they wouldn't pay very close attention. They'd just catch little sound bites and little snippets in the airport on CNN and front pages of the newspapers. But actually, people are digging deep, diving into this. They're searching the web themselves. They're going around in their Facebook groups. They're arguing this stuff out. They're arguing it out around their Thanksgiving tables last month. They'll be arguing about it at Christmas, I'm sure, as well. And what's coming out appears to be a general dislike, especially amongst independents, for the impeachment process. So we go to Rules Committee tomorrow. Now, do we know who's on the Rules Committee, and do we know what we're going to see in terms of rules being put together for Wednesday? Because that's the big day, right? That's the floor vote in the House, but we still don't know what the rules are for the floor vote in the House. Are people going to be able to speak for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? And if it's, by the way, any longer than you know, a handful of seconds to speak, how are they going to take a vote, you know, on the same day? Surely everyone will want to get up there and have their say, apart from maybe the Dirty 30, who probably want to be a bit shy and hide behind their desks in there. But do we know any details on rules?
So if you guys have Twitter, I would recommend following Jim McGovern from Massachusetts 2nd District. He's the chairman of the Rules Committee.
What's his handle?
So his handle, let me check that out for right now.
Yeah, you go ahead and look at that. The reason we have to watch these rules so closely, I think, is because you saw the process and how the process was handled by Nancy Pelosi, by Adam Schiff, by Jerry Nadler. You know, it didn't matter how hard Jerry Nadler banged the gavel down, right? It was very clear that they were setting their own rules. They were going apart from tradition, apart from convention on all of this stuff. And they've invented the process up as they've gone along. And it's interesting that's reflected in the polling. You know, we're going through the crosstabs. We're going through the detail on the polling here. And it shows that people understand that the Democrats' process in all of this is fishy. Greg.
So Rep. McGovern's Twitter is at Rep. R-E-P. McGovern. M-C-G-O-V-E-R-N.
And why should we be following him?
Because he's the chairman of the Rules Committee. So going into the vote on Wednesday, tomorrow, the Rules Committee is going to set the procedures and the rules.
So Tuesday we'll have the rules set by the Rules Committee. Yeah. That makes sense. And then Wednesday we'll have the whole kit and caboodle, the whole big shebang. And we'll be bringing you episodes of War Room Impeachment on Tuesday morning, on Tuesday evening, on Wednesday morning, on Wednesday evening, twice a day, every day this week. So make sure it's in your favorites, www.warroom.org. And of course, everywhere on every platform, follow us on Twitter at War Room 2020. Okay, Greg, let's get into this polling a little bit this side of the break, and then we'll deep dive on the other side. Quinnipiac poll. Let's start there. I want to read out some of the headlines from this, and then you jump in whenever you want. Okay. So the Trump job approval rating and economy rating hit highs. Quinnipiac University national poll finds. This is President Trump matching his best job approval rating ever. Just hold that up for the cameras here. If you're not watching us, americasvoice.news is where you can see the video live stream. Independents disapprove 50-42% in this Quinnipiac University poll on the impeachment process. Correct me if I'm wrong. This independents disapprove, that's the job performance rating. But this is the best approval rating number that Trump has had with independents since. What are the independents on the impeachment process in the Quinnipiac poll?
So in the Quinnipiac poll, independents oppose impeachment 58-36.
That's massive.
Yeah.
That's huge. Say that again. 58.
58-36.
See, the reason I read the wrong number out there was because I couldn't believe that it could be that huge. But it's significant. So there's the independents disapprove of the president's job performance 50-42, which is his best performance amongst independents, but they disapprove of the impeachment process. Say those numbers again.
58-36.
Wow. That is unreal. We'll get into that in just a second. Women disapprove of President Trump's job performance 57-38. But again, Quinnipiac noting it is the best approval number amongst women thus far. Registered voters are more positive about the economy than any time in the last 18 years, nearly two decades. And 73% of registered voters describing the economy as either excellent or good. 45% of people saying that President Trump should be impeached and removed from office, and 51% of those polled by Quinnipiac saying they don't think so. And opposition to impeachment has increased since the Democrats' hearings began, which again, I mean, it's so embarrassing. It's humiliating. This is probably why they went for a weak tea impeachment, Greg. You know, they dropped the bribery stuff. They're going for this abuse of power and obstruction of Congress because they see that this is very unpopular with American people. That's not going to be good enough for the American people, is it?
No, impeachment light is not working.
Impeachment light is not working. 87% of people say their mind is already made up about impeachment, which is a very important statistic to note. That means there's only about 12% of people out there who say they might change their mind. I guess 1% don't know whether they'll change their mind or their mind is made up. Doesn't go into details here. Greg, we've got a couple of minutes left on this side of the show. Let's talk about this about the deep dive that you've been doing into these Quinnipiac numbers. What else should we be noting out of this?
So going through the crosstabs, and you mentioned the independents.
Yeah.
Let's drill down on Nancy Pelosi. How is Nancy Pelosi handling her job currently? Amongst independents, 58% disapprove of how she's handling her job.
Wow.
And her job right now is stewarding this impeachment.
Wait. 58%?
58.
And how many approve?
34.
So the president's job approval numbers amongst independents are 50 to 42, and Pelosi's is 58 to
34.
So a marked difference between the president and Speaker Pelosi. You see, the reason I want that juxtaposition, why people need to understand why that's so important, is Pelosi, halfway through the process, halfway through Adam Schiff's process, they had a switch up in tactics. Remember, they were doing these hearings. They had the private depositions, very unpopular. Then they had the public hearings, and about halfway through those public hearings, they switched up tactics. After the first round of questions by Democrats, they took a recess so that Schiff could go out and brief the television cameras, right? That also didn't work. So get sent to Nadler and the Judiciary Committee. And what happens is Speaker Pelosi has to start doing lots of television interviews, has to start doing lots of press conferences just to keep the show on the road. But it wasn't just to keep the show on the road. I mean, Jerry Nadler's going to drive that car off the cliff no matter what. But it wasn't just to keep the show on the road. It was to set it up as Speaker Pelosi versus President Trump. That's the fight she wanted. She's getting that fight and she's losing it badly.
Yep, she wanted that fight, that clash of the titans, and she's getting decimated.
She is absolutely getting decimated. What else should we be looking at here?
So going back to the Pelosi cross tabs again, amongst women, it's 47-47 in terms of how she's handling her job.
Wow. That's a major problem for her. You don't expect the female speaker, the most powerful woman in the country probably, to be level pegging amongst women on something that she should be winning on. Anything else we should note? We got about a minute to break.
So in the crosstabs in the economy section, Democrats, 57% think that the economy is in good shape.
Wow.
It's a notable acknowledgement.
Yeah.
57%.
It is. And it appears from the top lines on this Quinnipiac poll that people are thinking about the economy. They're thinking about jobs. They're not just, by the way, this isn't, people need to realize full employment is a very, very difficult place to get economically speaking. America is in full employment, and it's not just jobs numbers. It's also wages rising that determines if you're in full employment. You're saying Democrats understand this as much as Republicans understand this?
Yep. Absolutely, based on this polling.
It's pretty incredible stuff. All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to dive more into the other polls that are coming out today, what they say about the president's approval numbers, what they say about the impeachment process in general. Very, very interesting times in terms of what the statistics are telling us. Because as you all know out there, the pollsters have a very certain way of swaying Democrat, of swaying Liberal, of swaying Hillary Clinton, and they're still reporting that actually Nancy Pelosi's in a lot of trouble. The Democrats are in a lot of trouble. This is War Room Impeachment. It is Monday, December the 16th, year of our Lord, 2019. I'm Raheem Kassam, joined in the War Room by Greg Manns, live on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Newsmax, America's Voice, .news, the Salem Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short break.
War Room, Impeachment, Bannon, Miller, Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, Monday, December the 16th, 2019. I'm Raheem Kassam, broadcasting live with our War Room primo researcher. Is that the title we've given you? It's the title I'm giving you now.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Greg Manns, we're in studio here on Capitol Hill. We've been going through the polling all day, the Quinnipiac poll, the USA Today poll, the Rasmussen poll. You know, I like to use the show, Greg, to get into the detail rather than just the hearsay surrounding impeachment. It's very important that people understand what other people are thinking out there, what the public is thinking out there, and how that informs not just other public opinion, but how it informs legislators and how, especially the Democrats right now, comport themselves. We are live on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, Newsmax TV, America's Voice, .news. And we encourage, nay, demand that you check us out on all the podcast platforms you can. Leave a review, subscribe. It's absolutely free. The reason that it's so important that you do that for us is that there are so many left-wing affiliated podcasts out there, the CNN ones and the New York Times ones and the Vox ones, and they're all dreadful. If you must, don't take my word for it. Check them out yourselves. But I assure you, I listen to them regularly, and they sound a little bit like this. Today, the president actually tweeted something, and it's just droning on and on in this sanctimonious crap. And we don't do that here in the War Room. On War Room Impeachment, we get down into the nitty-gritty as soon as possible. And if you want to get us higher on the rankings and make sure more people listen to us, then check us out on those podcast platforms. Subscribe, leave good reviews, leave 5 stars. I'm like an Uber driver here. And help us rise up those rankings. And we appreciate you for it. Right. Back to the business at hand. Greg, we're going to close out this Quinnipiac poll and then move on to the other ones. But in the break, you mentioned to me there's some interesting statistics. Amongst the Democrats' core base, you know, their supposedly unshakable base, the ones that will always come crawling back to them because they're so well-educated, much smarter than us rubes here. Greg, what else is in the buried detail of this Quinnipiac poll?
Yep, so the crosstabs are fascinating when they're talking about Democrats in Congress and their approval and disapproval.
When you say, just tell people out there, because I know we get a lot of people listening to this show that aren't in politics, right? They're listening to it on their way to work. They're listening to it at the gym. They're listening to it while they're cooking dinner. What's a crosstab? What do we mean by that?
So it's basically the granular details that we always talk about, dividing all the data, yeah, and presenting it into different categories and draws out very specific elements of the poll.
When a poll comes out and CNN has the up on their screen, you know, 57% of people think Trump's doing a bad job or whatever it is, that's not the only question that was asked in the poll. In fact, polls consist of dozens and dozens of questions. Sometimes even massive ones can include hundreds of questions, right? These surveys that they call people on their cell phones, on their landlines, sometimes their online surveys. And there are loads and loads of questions. It's actually the news media and the journalists that decide what they pull out from the polls and present to the public. And we're the ones going through on the political right and going through and saying, well, actually, you know what? The New York Times might lead tomorrow with, independents disapprove 50 to 42% with Trump's job approval ratings. But actually, some of the statistics we gave you in the last half of the show about where independents stand on impeachment, they're not going to tell you that necessarily. So you go through the crosstabs. What are you finding out here?
One thing that is a key takeaway for me, at least, is for white college-educated voters.
This is the Democrats' base.
Exactly. 54% disapprove of the way Democrats in Congress are currently acting.
Wow. 54% disapprove of Democrats. Read the actual question that was asked to them.
Do you approve or disapprove of the way the Democrats in Congress are handling their job?
Wow. And they say, and so their base is disapprove. Well, how many approve?
44%.
That's not good.
Nope.
That is not good at all.
Yeah. I'm not a math guy, but that seems
well, don't
to
say
be
that
pretty,
now. I've introduced you as our polling expert. Yeah, I'm not a math guy. Right. And then tomorrow we're going to bring on our key writer on warroom.org, but he's not an English guy. So, you know, nice one, Greg Manns. Look, that's the Quinnipiac poll. What is the Rasmussen and the USA Today polls telling us about this? Because it's equally bad news, I believe, right, for the Democrats and for the independents that we're looking at specifically. Because as I say, when you go through this stuff and a lot of people say, hey, their mind is made up, 87% of people say their mind is made up, 12% say they might change their mind, that's probably independents we're talking about there. And so what are these other polls telling us about the independents?
So in the USA Today Suffolk poll, independents oppose impeachment 52-41.
So say they get 52-41.
52-41.
Big margin.
Yep. And like I said, I'm not a math guy, but those numbers aren't too good.
That's pretty incredible. I'm getting breaking news in my text message box from John, none other than John Fredericks. We're on the John Fredericks Radio Network. Abigail Spanberger, VA2, just said on Richmond News NBC she's voting for both articles impeachment. No, it's VA7, I believe, voting for both articles of impeachment. So that's breaking news here on Warm Impeachment. Thanks to John Fredericks for bringing us that news this evening in my text message inbox. What else? Now, that was, which one did we just go through? The USA Today?
That was USA Today.
And was there anything else in the USA Today that we need to be aware of? Or is that broadly it?
Yeah, that's the main takeaway.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
What is Rasmussen telling us?
So this, they get a little bit more specific in terms of whether they approve or disapprove, but then also, are they going to ignore the impeachment issue, or is that going to be a driving force for them when they go to the polls? So 57% say they'll vote against an incumbent who supports impeachment, or they'll just ignore the issue.
Mm. Say that again.
56% are going to vote against an incumbent. And what you saw today is a lot of incumbents came out for impeachment.
Wow. That's bad news for those dirty 30. I wonder if they're even keeping an eye on these things. I mean, what Slotkin says, she didn't read the articles of impeachment. She's probably not reading the polls either. By the way she's behaving, it doesn't seem like it, right?
No, and the interesting thing is Nancy Pelosi said she's not going to whip the vote.
Yes.
So she's either whipping the vote and they're falling into line, or they're just not paying attention to these polls.
Well, if she's not whipping the vote, it's a magical process by which these under threat incumbent Democrats are suddenly and very quickly coming to the conclusion that they want to vote for two articles of impeachment that they themselves have raised question marks over. And they're coming to the conclusion without even having read the articles of impeachment. Yeah, believe me, Nancy Pelosi is whipping that vote.
And in Congresswoman Slotkin's case, she even admitted that the majority of her district is against impeachment.
Yeah, but then she said, I know better because I'm a CIA person.
Yep.
That's what she said.
Yep.
It's outrageous. It's unbelievable. This reminds me of something a lot of people I know would have been paying attention to, the British general elections last week and the big blowout for the hard left, the sort of Bernie Sanders left, Corbyn Labour Party there. And one of the senior members, Greg, on the Labour front benches and the Labour front team, it's kind of like Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying this. She said to one of her Conservative Party colleagues in the House of Parliament, she said, I'm glad my constituents aren't as stupid as yours.
Oh, geez.
This is what they think of them. Anyway, let's pivot. I want to talk about the continuation, the permanent impeachment party, the PIPs, as Jason Miller named them. Earlier, and Jason and Steve on assignment, by the way, this evening. Jason Miller named them the PIPs, the Permanent Impeachment Party, because some of them are saying, and I think it was Karen Bass that said just last week, look, even if Trump comes out of this and he's acquitted in the Senate and wins a general election, wins the presidential election, she said, well, we'll impeach him again.
Yeah, she said that on TMZ.
So tell us about what's going on with the PIPs now.
So that Politico has an article out with the headline, House Democrats vow to continue impeachment probes regardless of Senate outcome.
So they're going to continue this both throughout the Senate process, throughout the Senate trial. They're going to continue investigating in the House, which is a bizarre way to conduct yourself. You would think that you would do all of your research and investigation on the front end before you send it to the Senate. I wonder about even the constitutionality of that. Then you send it to the Senate, you keep investigating anyway, and then even after the Senate outcome, you say, so the Senate comes to a conclusion, the legal process is over, the jury decides to acquit the President of the United States, and the House Democrats say, we're going to keep investigating this anyway.
And the most perplexing component of this House backpedaling is it's the Mueller focus. They want to go back to Mueller. Ukraine didn't work, so now they want to go back to Mueller and try and pull something out of there that doesn't exist.
I don't understand. But Mueller failed as well. There was no collusion. Mueller wasn't a thing. That didn't go anywhere. Mueller ended up getting chopped up in his testimony. The whole thing was a bust. Why would they take it back there? Are they so devoid of ideas at this point? I mean, here's the thing. I'll give them a hint, because I know there are Democrats and there are people on the left that listen to this show. I know there are people on the left that listen to this show who are mainstream television news anchors, right? Because they talk about us on television from time to time. The president was most on the back foot in terms of public polling, at least, when the issue of the migrant detention centers on the southern border was leading the headlines. If I was in charge of the Democrat Party of America, I would try and get away from this whole thing. get away from Russia, get away from Ukraine, bring it back to domestic policy, and point the cameras at the boohoo stuff that you want people crying over, that especially women feel very sad about, with family separations and things like that. That's what was moving the needle for Democrats. How can I can see this and they can't see that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Usually their strategy is playing to people's emotions.
Yeah.
But they're not doing that.
No. They are playing a very, very bizarre game here right now. I want to reset a little bit here. War Room impeachment on the John Fredericks Radio Network. We want to go through some of the finer details of what came out today, including the four witnesses, Schumer's Christmas witness wish list, I'm going to call this. He wants for Christmas John Bolton, Mick Mulvaney, Robert Blair, who's a senior advisor to Mick Mulvaney, and Michael Duffy, the OMB assistant director for the National Security Council. That's his Christmas wish list, right? As in who he wants to put up in a Senate trial. Let's talk about the Senate trial for a second, because there seems to be a lot of humming and hawing about whether or not we should, the people on the right should be involved in prolonging a Senate trial, trying to call Hunter Biden, trying to call Joe Biden, trying to call Adam Schiff, trying to get all of this stuff out in the open, out in the clear, and have this out in front of the American people. You know, this whole thing will be televised. There may be only, you know, 500 seats in the room, probably not going to be able to get in if you want to go in person, but you will be watching this. And I don't know about you guys listening to this at home, but I will be on the edge of my seat listening to every single detail that comes up here. Shouldn't people be given the opportunity to hear everything on both sides of this? And disagree with me if you want, Greg, but I believe it is an error. Unless the White House knows something I don't know, unless the Republican senators know something I don't know, which I'm not sure that can be said of anything amongst some of them, but unless they know something I don't know about this whole process and about what may come out in this process, why do they not want to go for a full, not just an acquittal of President Trump, but a complete exoneration?
It's a unique dynamic because I don't know if the Senate wants to validate this whole process, give it legitimacy, or get back to...
It's a good point. You mean they're looking at these polling numbers and they're seeing that actually the American public don't like this process. So why should we lend our credibility
exactly.
to it?
Let's get back to doing our jobs, doing what the American people want to do, want them to do. But then the dynamic is full exoneration. We've gone through it this far. President Trump deserves to be fully exonerated.
Look, the White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham says today, quote, House Democrats violated their own rules and any historical precedent of fairness while conducting their illegitimate impeachment sham. Senator Schumer's letter is just more proof that the only evidence the House produced actually proves President Trump did nothing wrong, end quote. If you want to litigate this out, if you want to show that statement is true, you don't try and dismiss this process. If you dismiss this process offhand, I think you are snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I think there is an opportunity here for the Republican Party to knock this ball out of the park, to say, okay, you want to talk about what exactly happened in Ukraine? You want to talk about when it started back in 2012, 2013, how it was funded, how it was supported by the U.S. State Department, how people supported the overthrow of Yanukovych, how then they supported President Poroshenko, who was involved in this, who sat on what boards, how much money came about. Hey, the question needs to be asked over and over again. Which family took tens of thousands of dollars up front and millions of dollars on the back end from the most corrupt company in one of the most corrupt countries in the world, Burisma, the oil and gas company? Was that the Biden family or was it the Trump family? Oh yeah, it was the Biden family. Why wouldn't they want that to be had out, especially ahead of an election?
Yeah, and just going back to, it sets a bad precedent for future presidents if they don't fully exonerate him, because the next president, if it's Republican, Democrat, is going to face these similar issues just based on policy differences, unless it's proven that everything that President Trump did was all above board and fully gets his people in there to make the case.
Yeah, the witnesses that the Republicans want to call, et cetera, et cetera. If I'm a Democrat on the doorstep going into November and I'm knocking on someone's door and they say, I'm not voting Democrat because of what you guys did with impeachment, I'll turn around and say, but hey, we didn't get to have the whole Senate trial out. They gave us a perfunctory process. They cut it short. It wasn't fair. And we should do it again right after the election. Don't give them the opportunity to do that.
Yep, exactly.
Well, all right, fine. I was hoping you might disagree with me a little bit more and make for some more interesting radio. Look, I want to talk about Carly Fiorina, because this is, and I've never said that before in my life, actually, that sentence. I'll probably never ever say it again, I hope. But Carly Fiorina said something absolutely bizarre. She says it's vital that President Trump be impeached. Remember, this was Ted Cruz's running mate, albeit for about 8 minutes, but this was Ted Cruz's running mate in the last election on the Republican side. She says it's vital Trump be impeached, but she also doesn't rule out voting for him in 2020. Carly Fiorina is a bizarre person, and I cannot understand what she's talking about here. She says things like, let me quote Carly Fiorina. Some of this conduct, like publicly berating a decorated war veteran, she's talking about Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who shows up in response to a lawfully issued subpoena of Congress, she says, I think that conduct is not just unbecoming, I think it's destructive to our republic. Now, I'll grant you that Carly Fiorina, especially the way she managed Hewlett-Packard, knows a thing or two about destruction, but really, I mean, it's nonsensical that it's vital he be impeached, but she won't rule out voting for him next year. This is a person, Greg, didn't she try and take over the Republican Party at some point?
That's correct. In the summer of 2016, there were rumors and pretty people on the record talking about her interest in taking over the RNC. And remember, this is before President Trump won in November, but she was interested in heading the Republican National Committee. And the timing is interesting for her coming out talking about impeachment as well, because not too long ago, it's also been well-sourced that she's interested in running in 2021 for governor of Virginia.
Oh boy. Maybe the only candidate who can get defeated by somebody who's worn blackface. When you look at somebody like Carly Fiorina, you think, wow, you know, she was on track to perhaps be the Republican vice president if Ted Cruz had won out and if she had, you know, stayed on the ticket and they had beaten Hillary Clinton. To come out and say something like this during a process that she can see, that independent voters can see, and even the Democrats' base can see, is a flawed process. They're losing congressmen over this. They're losing people in town halls. They're losing people in the polling. Why is Carly Fiorina sticking her oar in like this? And by the way, just so it's clear, the interview was, of course, with, drumroll please, CNN.
Shocker.
But, I mean, what is this? Is this? Do these people realize that without President Trump doing what he did and being this battering ram against the political establishment and against the, not just the interagency consensus, not just against the swamp, but the swamp within the Republican Party itself, that these people would be so long forgotten? Carly Fiorina, I mean, she is already long forgotten, but many of her Republican colleagues would have lost, would have continued to lose, would not get even a look in the next time around. There would have been an incumbency factor for the Democrats if they had won the 2016 presidential election. This guy changed the trajectory of the Republican Party away from this neoliberal, Koch-backed, middle-of-the-road Mitt Romney party and gave it new life, and they're still spitting in his face.
Yeah, President Trump gave the Republican Party a backbone.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. That's a headline for when we write this up on the site. And speaking of which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we write up what's going on this show, on the site. If you can't tune in live, if you can't listen back to every single podcast, make sure you check out warroom.org. We pull out the best clips for you. We put it online. We put it on YouTube. We put it on Facebook. We put it on our Twitter at warroom2020. And of course, again, make sure you're signing up. We do a free newsletter. You can sign up at warroom.org. Greg, we've got just a couple of minutes left to go. Is there anything we haven't covered that you thought was imperative to today's show? Anything, Greg? Anything on Greg Manz's radar?
So I'd mentioned the chairman of the Rules Committee.
Yes.
But on the Republican side, the ranking member is Tom Cole. Mm. So we want to make sure we're following him with all the rules being front and center tomorrow. Doug Collins and
who else we got? You blanking?
Well, Doug Collins in terms of creating a presence in the media, in being a strong defender. We want to make sure that Tom Cole is doing that as well.
Do we have his handle? Do we know how to follow him? Yeah. Let's make sure we get that up by the end of the show. Here, we got about a minute left on War Room impeachment. I just want to pull it back to something CNN's reporting right now, which I think is quite interesting as well. People have mentioned this a couple of times over in the last few days. There are 15 of today's senators who were also in the Senate during the 1999 impeachment trial of former President Bill Clinton, who obviously faced perjury and obstruction of justice. And Susan Collins, Michael Crapo, Dick Durbin, Mike Enzi, Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Grassley, James Inhofe, Patrick Leahy, Mitch McConnell, Patty Murray, Jack Reed, Pat Roberts, Chuck Schumer, Richard Shelby, and Ron Wyden, all ones to really watch out for and look at how they go. Greg, give us that, hit us with that Twitter hack.
So the Twitter handle for Tom Cole is at Tom Cole, OK04.
Brilliant. Really memorable. At Tom Cole, OK04. Yep. Okay, boomer. We will be back with another episode of War Room Impeachment tomorrow morning. That is December the 17th, 2019. In the meantime, make sure you check it out, warroom.org. Thanks to Greg Manns. Thanks to our producer, America's Voice.News, John Fredericks Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.